The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
This is the life. A chance to get away from it all and just relax. Have some peace and quiet. Boy, it's great to get out of the city with its congestion, noise, and pressures. A man can really develop an appetite out here. Coffee. That's good. Really hits the spot. Oh, to live like this all the time.
Kind of getting hard to keep a good tranquil mental attitude these days and really enjoy the outback or the wilderness when you try to get away from it all. It's becoming increasingly difficult to stay healthy or even to be healthy in a world where mental anxieties and psychosomatic illnesses, or that is, illnesses of the body, very real ones, ones which can be analyzed by doctors, which should be treated perhaps, and have been absolutely demonstrated to be directly in relationship to what our minds do to our bodies. You know, there must be some consciousness about physical health because you see dozens of these exercise programs. Every single man's magazine or woman's magazine seems to have lots of ads about reduction programs or salons. Membership in health clubs is certainly at one of the all-time highs, and people are subjecting their bodies to all sorts of rigorous regimes and trying to bring them into shape. But even that can become kind of a hassle, that people rush in smog-laden, traffic-choked streets down to some gym and then have to climb up or maybe take an elevator or whatnot, get in there and sit in a sauna, and then maybe use a lot of machines with a lot of other people doing the same thing. I don't know whether there's any mental tranquility in that whatsoever. But without a positive approach mentally, you really can't be healthy physically. We live in a world of frustration, anxiety, and psychosomatic illnesses. A world of jangled nerves, of enervating noise, pollution, and frustration. And the result is that emotional depression is rising at an alarming rate. Some psychiatrists are calling this the age of depression, in contrast to the age of anxiety of a generation ago. And never have so many people been so obviously unhappy. Dr. George Gallup recently revealed that 51% of all Americans are willing to admit that their lives are most dull and routine. That's a 1970 poll. Other studies show 8 out of 10 are dissatisfied and unhappy with their jobs. Their off-the-job life may be more interesting. Their jobs are boring and dull and tension-ridden. In the teen and young adult, suicide is now the number 2 cause of death, with accidents number 1. But, says Dr. Leonard Kramer, who is a New York psychiatrist, I believe that 50% of accidents are suicide. Emotional depression is developing into an epidemic. An estimated 50% of all medical patients are suffering from mind-induced illnesses, psychosomatic illness, or disease. General practitioners report that up to 75% of their non-emergency cases are victims of emotional illness and see in it so many guises they speak of the many faces of depression. Stated Dr. Walter E. O'Donnell, and I quote, "I think the toughest diagnosis a doctor ever has to make is one of functional or psychosomatic disease, a diagnosis of nerves. Psychosomatic ailments are defined as ailments in which mental and emotional factors cause stress to disrupt body functions. Medical researchers have collected impressive evidence that emotional factors are primarily responsible for many of the chronic diseases that have been hitting the American populace, especially the American male, and notably the big one, heart disease. The hard-driving businessman type, the executive, smoking his cigar, 2 martinis for lunch, roaring to work, like as not in a traffic jam where it takes him an hour or 45 minutes with a morass, a sea of moving automobiles in a smog-laden freeway in one of the big cities, and then has to fight his way out of the parking lot, fight his way up the elevator, goes through clattering typing pools and so on to reach his office. This guy is a prime candidate for an early coronary. Dr. John R. French of the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research says that the known risk factors do not come close to accounting for the incidence of coronaries. He maintains that, and I quote, if you could perfectly control cholesterol, blood pressure, smoking, glucose level, and so on, you would have controlled only about one-fourth of the coronary heart disease. We asked Dr. Criley, who is chief cardiologist at UCLA, about the connection between heart disease and the pressures of our modern way of life.
Speaking of psychological stress and so forth, what about psychosomatic pressures that lead to heart attacks?
Well, I think this goes back again to one of the possible risk factors, which is the so-called type A personality, the individual who always feels responsible for getting something done, the hard driving, really the successful businessman in America. There is evidence that this type of individual does have more heart attacks than the laconic individual who's able to sit back and watch the world go by. And so there very well may be some psychosocial stresses there. And we've looked into some aspects of this, and actually here in this experimental laboratory here, we've tried to use a form of stress on experimental animals to see if this might lead to early atherosclerosis. And by giving an adrenaline-like compound to animals over a long period of time, in concentrations which are probably achievable just by being under constant stress and duress, we're able to produce atherosclerosis in dogs, which are ordinarily very resistant to developing atherosclerosis. So this very well may be one of the chemical reasons why stress can be converted into a hardening of the arteries.
Does a person who lives in a city environment necessarily have greater stress factors exerted or impinged upon him over the person who lives in the country?
I think there's no question about that, and we also should add in the environmental pollution. Certainly the water supply may be important. Certainly the air supply is important. And in an area of a large metropolitan city with a lot of automobiles and trucks and buses, we're going to have not only the smog in the air, but also a high concentration of carbon monoxide in the air. And carbon monoxide interferes with the blood's delivery of oxygen to the tissues. And this is the key issue in keeping the heart alive. If it does not get oxygen delivered to it, it cannot function, and indeed will have a heart attack.
It seems like it's almost impossible to avoid some of the stress factors in modern-day society, and even people who do get away from it all have a terrible time trying to wind down. A lot of people actually begin to feel guilty when they get in the out-of-doors. Guilty because they're not in the middle of that nerve-jangling confusion they call their job. They begin to want to get back on the job, believe it or not, lots of people do. They just can't really enjoy the out-of-doors. Well, you saw the poor guy who can't enjoy it because just as he's getting ready to sample some of his breakfast, a couple of characters on motorbikes go roaring through camp, and that's also another factor. About the time you pitch your tent and somebody else comes up and shoves you out of the way and drives a tent peg inside your home tent in order to pitch his next door to you, or if you cast a spoon in a little idyllic stream somewhere in the wilderness and you're standing there fishing, you look down and there's somebody's spinner right there in front of you, which is true in lots of places in this country. It gets more and more difficult then these days, no matter whether you're in the out-of-doors or on the job, to maintain a positive mental attitude.
For 40 years, the Plain Truth magazine has been supplying the missing dimension in education. The Plain Truth is published monthly as a facet of Ambassador College's In the Home Educational Service. It maintains an editorial policy that incorporates this missing dimension in education, biblical understanding. The Plain Truth's timely, informative articles deal with subjects covering success in business, recreation, politics, religion, farming. Each issue not only documents the state of today's society, but offers hope for a better world tomorrow. To serve its more than 6 million readers, The Plain Truth is published in 5 languages and is available without price or obligation to all who request it. Join the growing worldwide readership. Request your subscription to the magazine with a 40-year history of educational service to mankind. The Plain Truth.
send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales, 2001.
Nowhere near enough of this sleep at night the way we should. I know personally in my own job that I find if I don't visit a chiropractor once in a while, and I don't think I'm weird, but every now and then the tensions build up in the back of the old neck like they do with most every other person you can think of, I guess. And that then pulls your hip out of joint and hurts your knee and your shoulder and your elbow ache. Everybody knows that about that sciatic nerve and this and that. So you have to go and kind of get put back in shape a little bit. A lot of times you don't really relax when you sleep, simply because of the tensions and the pressures on the job. Sleep, and enough of it, is a vital ingredient in maintaining good health. But anxiety, depression, and excitement often make sleep difficult. America could spend over $500 million a year on sleeping pills. There are 800,000 pounds of barbiturates alone produced in this country every year. Add the 200 types of sleep potions available today, and you get an idea of the problem, according to Dr. Julia Siegel of National Institute of Health. On the other hand, some people actually sleep too much, get into a kind of a sleep syndrome because they want to stay oblivious to the problems they have to get up and face. Many people will sleep 9, 10, and 11 hours a night, or a day if you want to say it. And some people, of course, just go to sleep to escape worries and tension. Stressed people, by the way, are often more accident prone. So loss of time on the job and resultant high medical costs are related directly to tension and stress. Often people want to be sick or injured to avoid unpleasant situations or responsibilities, or at least to feel they are sick and injured, and thus to call in sick on the job when actually it all began in their minds. The brain and the emotions of the human psyche or body do influence body functions, especially through powerful hormones produced by the endocrine glands of the body. The power of suggestion has produced emotional conditions that can produce physical changes in the body, and that's a fact. Hypnosis and so on. Studies have shown people with chronic negative attitudes experience a definitely higher proportion of certain types of diseases. Man's mind has been proved capable of exerting such enormous pressures and stresses on the body that everything from night sweats and fits, rashes, balding, gastric and peptic ulcers, all sorts of intestinal difficulties, insomnia, and even all the way, believe it or not, in women to pseudo-pregnancies up to about the 8th month. Easily discernible by the doctor, apparently, without having to go to the proverbial test to find out what it was, have been induced by psychosomatic relationships. Some doctors have said that it's perhaps 50% of all so-called disease or debility that is directly related to the mind. They think it's about half of all sickness that is caused by what goes on upstairs. So good mental health depends on a proper environment. It's extremely difficult to have a positive mental attitude when you're surrounded by filth, pollution, smog, and jangling noise. Even good old-fashioned sunlight and fresh air are getting hard to come by. I know. Because of enforced conditions, which I resent, I have to live in the rotten blotch, the unbelievable festering scab, the teeming, obnoxious blight on the surface of the earth that somebody once called Los Angeles. Now, excuse me to the Chamber of Commerce, but it's a perfectly ghastly place to have to live, so far as I personally am concerned, and you can put that down as my own opinion. If people say, ignore the smog, it doesn't bother me, I don't think about it, I've got to retort, well, then you're only using about the top 10% of your lungs. Because I come back into Los Angeles after every one of my escapes, which are as numerous as I can possibly arrange, and I begin smelling that garbage by the time I get out of about 10 or 11,000 feet. It depends upon the thermocline or the kind of a layer of this stuff in the air. Several times here recently, getting special VFR out of an airport, you turn to a heading and it tells you to climb VFR on top. There isn't a cloud in sight. No clouds. You just can't see. Visibility down below 3 miles means airports go IFR, or instrument flight rules. And so that means you have to either get an instrument clearance or special VFR out of a control zone to climb up, as they say, VFR, or visual flight rules, on top. I've had to do that. And of course, the horrible smell that you get. Then I'll come back to the college, and maybe that same afternoon I'll go down there for a basketball game. And after just a few minutes of breathing that garbage, my lungs begin to ache, my eyes begin to run, I get post-nasal drip, and that looks horrible in cross-section. You've seen the ads, probably. Practically everybody I talk to has the same kind of problem. But we ignore it. Carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, all of these oxides and so on. We just ignore it all. It's ruining the paint in our automobiles, wearing away and eroding the stripping and the weather stripping around our windows, ruining even airplane and metals and brick and mortar, doing damage to metals, and yet our lungs and our noses and our eyes are asked to stand it. So even clear sunlight is becoming a rare commodity. They tried out something different in fluorescent light in a factory not long ago. I think it was a radio station, I beg your pardon, in Florida. And they put in some pink fluorescent tubes, hopefully, so they can improve the atmosphere. Well, after a period of time, they began to goof up on the air. Tempers rose. Almost everybody got sore at the management. Finally, two employees quit, and one guy said he would blow his cork if they didn't remove those terrible pink fluorescent tubes. So back went the white tubes, and peace and normalcy was again achieved. We're only beginning to understand the effects so-called civilization has on man. First, it's our fault. We did it to our environment. And now it looks as if our environment is beginning to catch up and to get even.
John Riley watched the sandcastle the little girl had built melt away as the relentless tide once again claimed its territory. Too bad they don't last, he mused. It reminded him of a sad song he knew about dreams people have which never come true. He wondered about the plans he and his wife Sandy had made as a young bride and groom. Their life had been good. Their children were grown now and gone. What lay ahead? Just dandling the grandchildren and waiting for the end? Is that all there is? Does life have a point? John knew the uneasy questions. He could know the positive answers. Sooner or later, we all wonder what life's all about. Is all we do in this life a mere sandcastle? Or is there more? One of the keys to fulfillment in life is a sense of purpose, to build something that will last. The Ambassador College free booklet, Why Were You Born?, gives the true answer to this age-old question and reason for human existence. Is life only a sandcastle? Read this vital booklet, Why Were You Born? It'll be sent free upon your request. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
In psychosomatic disorders, the key is what goes on upstairs in the mind. You can't really become healthy physically as long as you're unhealthy mentally. You've got to solve the mental problems first. We talked to Dr. Clifford Broderick, professor at the University of Southern California, about his attitudes toward mental health in America.
How would you define mental health?
Well, I suppose mental health or the lack of mental health, people always define mental health by lack. And the lack of mental health means that you're not satisfied, really, that you're achieving your goals or that you're able to achieve your goals, so you feel unhappy and blue and nervous. And I think primarily it's a discrepancy, a sense of discrepancy between what you feel you'd like to be able to do and to achieve and how you'd like to be able to function and the way you feel you are functioning.
Let's talk about tension in our society today. That's quite a stress factor and quite
it
a
is.
Problem in mental health.
Together with depression, it's the most painful other thing, I think. I think tension comes mostly from feeling you have more things to do and more people to please and more people judging you or judging yourself in more ways than you can possibly meet. You just get cornered and there's no way out. And when people feel that way, they feel like they either must fight back or run away. And there's many ways to run. You can run into drugs or alcohol or television or sleeping. I tend to go to sleep myself when I want to run.
Is not worry and depression, aren't these some of the primary problems with most
You're right.
People
I suppose
today?
Those are the two most painful forms of common mental health problems. Worry is collecting in a sort of a gunny sack all the resentments that you have about the past that you can't change. All the concerns you have about what might not happen in the future, which you can't yet affect very directly. And doing that as an alternative to being concerned with what you can do today with the resources that you have and the people that you are now involved with right now.
What is depression?
Well, depression is feeling blue and down and like you don't want to get up and face the day, like you just can't stand to think of, if things don't get better, you just don't know if you can stand it at all. There seem to be three reasons for depression that we find over and over and over and over again. One, the simplest one, is when just nothing interesting is happening. There's no input from a person's life. They don't have any friends. They don't have anything that changes from day to day. Each day grinds all like the day before it. In such a case, you try to get people to go out and try new things, be assertive, meet new friends, to get involved in new programs, to develop and exercise talents, to get engaged with life. And then secondly, there's a problem with anger. People don't know what to do with their resentments, and so they turn them in toward themselves. Then the third thing, I think, is people feel powerless to change the important things in their life. They feel things happen to them, and they have no sense of control or power over them. And generally, that's because they don't know the rules by which people affect the outside. They don't know how to make friends. They don't know how to change people's opinion. They don't know how to achieve the goals they have for themselves.
It seems what is needed is a complete mental approach, a different mental attitude toward ourselves, our job, and our environment. It isn't really impossible to have mental peace of mind if you understand what you are, where you're going, what your purpose is in life, how a man ought to get his happiness out of his work. He ought to be achieving a real sense of mission and fulfillment in life. And it certainly begins in the home, where marriage is concerned, where social interrelationships are concerned, a person's own attitude about himself and his fulfillment of his own job, so absolutely essential to keeping a peaceful and tranquil mind. It's very difficult for people who understand those principles to always do it. But let's take a look at several major steps that you could put into effect in your own life and ask yourself how you measure up. First, do you enjoy your work? Most people don't. Work is a drudgery. It's something they find accidentally. It's a place to earn income. It's not something they take great pride and great pleasure in doing. It says in the Bible, by way of principle, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. Get your pleasure out of your work. One sage once said. What about a hobby? Do you have one? Some people do, some don't. Many people make hobbies into interesting jobs. They begin to become creative enough. They develop a little kind of a cottage industry, you might say. Lamp making, coin collecting, old things such as bric-a-brac and painting old things you find spelunking around in barns, maybe taking up oil or acrylic paintings and things of this nature. Ceramics. Lots of people not only stimulate relaxation, creativity, and have a sense of real personal accomplishment and fulfillment, but make money in the doing of it. What about the guy who is a hypochondriac, who is always sticking out his tongue, opening up his eyelid, staring up his nose, and let's not go into the rest of it, wondering about what's the matter with it? People just get up, they don't feel good. Their tongue is wearing a fur coat, and they're swallowing pills like mad, and hanging around kind of haunting some of the health food stores. A lot of people are looking for a knock in their motor, fretting over and expecting the worst. Don't blow little annoyances all out of proportion and share all your aches and pains with everybody else. The Bible says that we ought to have a merry heart instead of a broken spirit. What about learning to like other people? Kind of difficult, isn't it, in our day and age? We tend to ignore people. Walking down the street today in a big city, if you were to say hi to somebody, they'd say, what are you, queer or what? What are you, a tourist? They wouldn't know what in the world was wrong with you if you raised a hand and said hi as you passed somebody on the street. But extending yourself to others and becoming involved in their lives, finding out what their problems are, can be very rewarding and at the same time help you to have a finer and better balanced mental attitude. What about meeting your problems with real decisiveness? Don't delay making most decisions and procrastinating. If they do get bigger and cause you more grief, don't insist on the very perfect decision, the only way out you're ever going to accept. You've got to act in confidence and avoid looking back, wondering if you did the right thing, always filled with worry about whether or not what you did is going to turn out right. What about learning to live with setbacks and adversity? Most people can't. They get psychosomatic illnesses because they're like people that have never learned the old proverbial farm, or I should say housewife, adage of don't cry over spilled milk. How many people fly into emotional frenzies of some sort over something they really can't help? It happens. It's already done. What can you do about it? Well, you can keep a tranquil and alert mind, but you don't have to wring your hands and go out of your skull over something that you can't really prevent and couldn't cope with before it occurred. There are many situations we simply can't change. Therefore, why not learn to live with it and say, well, what's next? We're built to begin to absorb problems anyway. And what about having a long-range goal in life? Some series of short-range goals that you want to fulfill. And that can be in many materialistic ways, even if people have short-range goals of buying a little piece of property, of obtaining some piece of equipment by which they can aid themselves in getting relaxation. You know, people can have little short-range goals of saving up for a set of golf clubs, or maybe a fishing outfit, or a rifle to go hunting. Sorry for all the people who believe that their grandmothers are inhabiting the bodies of animals, but they're all types in the world. But even short-range goals about a new room on the house or things like this, most people find are additional stress factors. They are striving. They're thinking. They're reasoning, and they're always continually dreaming, but in a frustrated way, like they're on a treadmill. They'll never be able to afford it. There are millions of people who know they can make money if they had money to make money with. They know they could make a lot of money. If they had a couple of million to invest, they could turn it over to a couple of quick million, and then they would be set for life. Most people fight and struggle with even the short-range goals and have nothing that even remotely looks like a long-range goal and purpose in life. You are, believe it or not, a created being. There is a set of rules that makes man what he is. When we break those rules, they break us. There are laws that affect your mind, not just psychology, not just stress, not just environment, not just emotional and hereditary problems. There are living laws that are just as active as the laws of chemistry and of science, the laws that affect the air that we breathe and the food that we eat, and the laws that affect our physical body. There are also laws that affect your mind. When you break those laws, you are breaking laws that are going to kick back and are going to break you. If you don't know what you are, you don't know why you were put on the earth and what your overall goal and purpose ought to be, then you can't have the right kind of a long-range goal. You can't really be planning or preparing way on out into the future. Almost nobody plans to die. Sometimes when elderly people get to the place they know their life is about over, they go out and select their own funeral plot, kind of a terrible thought when you think about it. But many people do this. So they begin to plan to die. But when we're 30 and we're 40, life is too filled with too many challenges and interesting things and exciting things we want to do, and so we drive ourselves into an early grave, striving and reaching out for a dozen things we probably shouldn't have and can't afford. If you want continuing articles on the health of your child, of your family, and of your own personal health and well-being, whether physical or mental, then your name needs to be on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine. Articles almost every single issue on diet, exercise, drugs, physical health, proper sleep, mental attitude, the very physical and mental well-being of every individual. The Plain Truth magazine deals with the kind of articles you as a human being need. When you take surveys of the man on the street, you find that their food, their own health, joblessness, hospitalization, insurance costs, rising costs of living, especially in foodstuffs and transportation. And, of course, we all know the energy crunch is here. We know that brownouts and blackouts are likely. We know that people are having to slow down and share rides, and some people are hitchhiking, and a lot of people have tried to buy different kinds of automobiles and get more gas mileage as a result of the energy crisis. Well, this kind of an article that shows you shortcuts that you can really use and helps you understand the current trends and conditions in world conditions is exactly what the Plain Truth magazine is all about. The Plain Truth magazine is a family magazine. There will be hard-hitting articles straight from the shoulder about the Bible, doctrinal articles, Christian living articles, and world news before it occurs. Every single Plain Truth magazine, a magazine that seeks to give you understanding. The Plain Truth is published in 5 languages, circulated around the world. A family magazine dealing with the big issues, the big problems, the ones that confront us every single day. The food on your table, the shirt and the clothing on your back. Your own financial well-being. Your job, your home, your school, your church, your family. We'll send this literature to you by return mail as quickly as we get your letter.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.